News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
I'm joined by Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, and Nuala Donlan, the spokesperson for Greyhound Action Ireland. And the reason I'm joined by Niall and Nuala is because the Dáil is going to vote today on a People Before Profit bill to ban hair coursing in Ireland. And this is the third attempt to do it since the 1990s. Nuala, let me start with you as a spokesperson for Greyhound Action Ireland. What is your hopes in relation to the legislation?
Well, obviously, I hope it would be passed, and I would have hoped that the main parties, given that it's a matter of conscience, would have allowed a free vote. And I think the reason they haven't is they're afraid that it would be passed, because I would imagine the vast majority of people in all the parties can see that it's no longer acceptable to be doing what they're doing, you know. And I have serious concerns over this 70 million value of hair coursing to the economy that has come up all of a sudden last week in the debate in the Dáil on the hair coursing bill. And I think we need some serious, you know, investigation around this claim, because this may, you know, in fact, sway people who mightn't have made up their mind, independent TDs or whatever, how to vote on that bill. This supposed economic value of hair coursing. And I'm wondering where that figure has come out of.
Okay,
Deputy
well,
Collins
let me,
said,
I'll bring that to Niall Collins in a second in relation to the economic benefits of it. What about the animal rights issues and the animal welfare issues? Because many will say, if you have the greyhounds muzzled, sure, what harm?
The reality is that the hare doesn't know greyhounds are muzzled. Hares are still being taken out of their natural habitat. Hares are solitary creatures. They're being kept in confined spaces with other hares. It's extremely stressful. Hares are still dying. The NBWS are telling us that. Hares are still being killed during coursing. They're dying of stress. And it's not just, I mean, it is bad enough that that's happening to hares, but there is another whole issue here in relation to what happens to coursing greyhounds. The career of a coursing greyhound finishes at 3 or 4. What happens to coursing greyhounds when that happens? And I remember during COVID, when the government proposed suspending hare coursing, there was outcry from the Irish Coursing Club. And I heard a representative of that body on the radio saying that all the coursing greyhounds would have to be killed because it's virtually impossible to home a coursing greyhound. Now, around 1,500 coursing greyhounds are born every year. So when those coursing greyhounds are no longer useful to the industry, what happens to them? We know that the racing greyhounds, that only a small percentage of them are homed, that a lot of them end up dead. So it's the animal welfare implications here are, they go well beyond the hare.
Let me bring in Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, on those. Niall Collins, thousands of dogs and hares tortured and euthanized for no gain.
Well, look, I don't agree with the whole approach here. At the end of the day, hair coursing has been around for a long time, and it has evolved, and it needed to evolve. And back in the 90s, muzzling, as you've pointed out, Anton, was brought in, and that completely changed and brought a step change in terms of the whole issue around hair coursing. And if you take last year alone, about 3,000 hares were captured by coursing clubs and used in coursing meetings. Less than 1% of those were not returned to the wild. So about 99.5% of those hares were returned under the proper supervision of the Department of Agriculture, under the proper supervision of National Parks and Wildlife people and veterinary surgeons. Anytime.
But oddly, Niall Collins, do those numbers not make a counter-argument to what you're suggesting? What you're saying is that 3,000 hares were captured, tortured, released, 30 of them were killed, and the animals chasing them are likely to have three-year careers and possibly be euthanized.
No. I mean, you're completely misrepresenting them. Hares aren't captured and tortured. I mean, in fairness, your job here is to chair this discussion impartially. And I'm just pointing out to you that
What do you call it when you take an animal and you set two greyhounds on it to chase it in a situation where it is terrified for its life?
So, of course, like hares are netted by license. The activity is highly regulated.
Do you think the hare thinks it's fun?
No, come on. We're having a serious conversation about this,
and Deputy Collins. Do you think it's enjoyable for the hare to be set upon by two greyhounds? Do you think that's acceptable?
I'm fully prepared to discuss the facts. And if you'd allow me,
isn't that the fact of greyhound racing? Are two greyhounds not set upon a hare?
If you're good enough to invite me onto the program, at least allow me to contribute uninterrupted. The points I'd like to make, which I think are factual, which some people don't want to accept are that hair coursing is highly regulated. There's a multiple layer of regulation around the holding of coursing meetings before, during and after. Animal welfare is at the heart of what people involved in coursing do. The welfare of greyhounds is hugely important. The welfare of hares is hugely important. And the animal husbandry that's practiced by people associated with coursing is of the highest standard. And I think to try and portray people who are involved in coursing as anything else, I think is highly disingenuous and hugely insulting.
Well, let me put that point to Nuala Donlan. Nuala, what about that the animal owners, the greyhound owners, will say that they care for these dogs, that they are beloved in sporting terms and beloved quasi-pets for the period that they own them?
Where is the proof that these dogs live beyond 4 years in the coursing industry? There is no traceability whatsoever in the coursing industry. So we don't know what happens to these dogs. And I seriously doubt if a dog is no longer useful at the age of four, that the owners are keeping them and continue to breed. They would have an awful lot of dogs living in their homes if they were homing all the dogs in coursing.
But Niall Collins made the point about the improvements across the years in terms of animal welfare, particularly with things like muzzling. Is that not an issue for regulation rather than for banning the sport?
So what he's saying is that instead of unregulated cruelty, we now have regulated cruelty. And remember, the muzzling was brought in. They were forced to bring in muzzling in 1993 when the late Deputy Tony Gregory brought a bill to ban hair coursing. And in an effort to try and, you know, prevent it being banned, they were forced to bring in muzzling. And, you know, I heard a nauseating comment from Deputy Collins in the Dáil last week talking about involving children in hair coursing is a really great way to foster respect for animals, you know, and introduce children to good animal husbandry. Could I suggest, if children want to be introduced to animal husbandry and respect for animals, that maybe, Deputy Collins, you could advise them to go to their local shelter, their local rescue, where they will find lots of greyhounds, both from the coursing and the racing industries, who've been discarded and no longer useful to the industry, rather than asking them to get involved in an activity where you can't deny this. Hares are terrified.
Niall Collins, I need to give you a better reply there.
This interview as well. Anton, hello.
Hello, Niall.
Am I involved in this interview or is it a one-way broadcast?
Did you hear me just saying I want to give Niall the right of reply?
Okay, thank you. What would you like to ask me?
I'd like to give you the right of reply.
So the point, and I want to restate the point, is that we have about 100 coursing clubs right around Ireland, and people are involved in this activity as an outdoor country pursuit. They have been involved in it for generations, and they take it very, very seriously, and they take their responsibility very, very seriously. And it's most unfair and disingenuous to represent people who are involved in coursing as anything but genuine and not having animal welfare at the very core and heart of what they do. And the point that I'd also like to make is that it does make a significant contribution to the rural economy. Government supports the rural economy. We in Fianna Fáil and other political parties support coursing because it's highly regulated. Yes, it's a minority sport. It's not everybody's desired fancy to get involved in coursing. But because it's a minority activity, it doesn't mean that we should move to ban it because some opinion poll says that a finding says that, you know, a large number of people disapprove of it. A large number of people also approve of it and are happy to partake in it. Okay. And I don't see why we can't facilitate people who are involved in a minority activity. It is highly regulated. And I know my own party, for example, the Fianna Fáil party supports it. I know the Fine Gael party supports it. I know Sinn Féin supports it. And a large number of independents across Dáil Éireann support it also.
We have
that point. So the notion that we should somehow just completely abandon an activity and a tradition which is hugely, hugely regulated. And the numbers show it.
We have that point now. Thank you very much. That is Niall Collins. Sorry, time is against you, folks. Niall Collins there, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture. And before him, Nuala Donlan, Greyhound Action Ireland spokesperson. If you have a view, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents or 087-1400-106 on WhatsApp.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.